it's time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again. We'll be here till noon today. And that's it. We sign off at noon today. This being Friday, normally we're on till 1 o'clock, but today is a little bit different. It's till noon today, and then whatever, because Scott's taken off on his trip, and wish him good luck. Okay, now back to the North Shore. I don't know how many of you have been to the Aviation Museum at Port Clinton. It's called the Liberty Aviation Museum, and that's where they're reconstructing a B-17, and they have it at not all the time, but they have the Ford Trimotor there quite a bit, and they have an Avenger plane. And you can see them rebuilding the torpedo boat that the one like Kennedy commanded or worked on. They'll redoing that. They did it once, but it didn't work out, so they're redoing it again. And very interesting mechanically, the museum part. And in the same way, now, there is a charge for the museum, but down at Urbana, we went down there, and there was no charge to go through and look at all the exhibits there and to talk to the men working on the reconstructing there of a B-17. These men were all retired, most of them airmen from World War II or, the Korean War, maybe Vietnam, and they donate their time because it's work they love to do. And there's a billion, rivets that need to be installed. Put that plane back together. Oh, my goodness. But it's so interesting. And the airport at Urbana has a nice restaurant, and a lot of people fly in there to get something to eat. Now, that's about as expensive as you can get to eat dinner in a restaurant you have to fly into. But it's fun. It really is. It's an experience. I remember my wife, Jeannie, and I flew in there with, he passed away, and he had his own airplane, and that was fun going in there. Okay, so much for aviation, except I need to know the name of the diner at Liberty Aviation Museum. What is the, just a second here, get my... Oh, yeah, the name of the diner. It has a name, for sure. Okay. Now, let's go elsewhere here, since I need an answer on that. We got the soaring thing at Wakeman Airport. We got State Street and Prospect Street. That's East and West Streets originally. And now, a place I once worked at for a while, a special occasion... it's called Historic. Oh, wait a second here. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, the antique car at Cedar Point. Are you talking about the Cadillac?
I'm talking about the in the museum at Cedar Point, the car that they've had on display.
Oh, the only thing I could see they mentioned was Cadillac. They had an old antique Cadillac car.
Oh, no, it wasn't Cadillac. No. It started with the letter C, though. No, letter E. The letter E. Excuse me.
Oh, it starts with E.
Yes, it was named after...
The only thing they mentioned was Cadillac. Okay. I'll look again.
It was named after a town in northern Ohio where it was built. And my grandfather worked on it. Okay, well, thanks. You look it up. Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye. All right, yes. And I don't know if that museum is gone now. You know, things are all changed around. I haven't been to Cedar Point in years. Can't afford to go. Woohoo! You know, when you're old and retired, you don't go to Cedar Point very often. Although, it'd be a great trip. I once would have, once a year, the publicity director for Cedar Point would come on my program early in the morning. That was when I was at the original WDIF. He would come down to be on my program at 5 o'clock in the morning, come all the way from Cedar Point. And that was really interesting. And his name was Robin Innes. And I haven't heard anything from Robin in years. I don't know if he'd like to drive if he's still there that far, that early in the morning. But I am not on that early now. It's 10 o'clock. Okay. All right, now, where was I? Okay, that name of the car in the museum at Cedar Point, and now the historic Lime Village. Where would you find historic Lime Village? I once made shingles there, and I worked together with the wood carver. We had a great day of it, and for entertainment, they had a simulated robbery of a hardware store right there on the grounds, and the thieves come running out, and the owner of the store is firing a gun at them. You know, it was interesting. And then they had a Civil War deal with cannons. Historic Lime. Oh, okay. This must be an answer here for Historic Lime Village. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, that diner at Port Clinton is the Tin Goose.
Yes, the Tin Goose Diner. Yes, yeah. Have you ever been there?
Oh, I've been there at least 10 times.
No kidding. Hey, that's good.
Yeah, it's the old-time 50s.
Yes, I love diners. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Would you like a gift today?
No, I'm not eligible.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I appreciate your call.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye. Okay, the Tin Goose Diner, yes. That was hauled hauled from Pennsylvania from the town of once called Jim Thorpe, in connection with Marion County there. But then they named, I don't know when the switch around occurred, from Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, to Mauk Chunk, M-A-U-C-H-U-N-K, or C. And I don't know how it got that name. That would be interesting to look up, wouldn't it? Mauk Chunk, or Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, to see what, if any of you want to do that, and read about it on the air here, I appreciate it. Because I really don't know the background of Mauk Chunk and Jim Thorpe. Why the name changed at one point. Okay, so we got, the Tin Goose Diner. We got that answered. Okay, 11:20 is the time. How are you doing today? What are you going, I started to tell you too, the Palace Theater has a play this weekend, 3 days. It started last night. It's on the 2 this afternoon. Or tonight, it's on at probably 7 o'clock or 7:30. And then it's on tomorrow afternoon around 2 o'clock, called Robin Hood. And, my granddaughter is in the chorus there. She loves the theater. And she has had various roles. Remember, it's Christmas at the palace, and she recited the or told the story about the kid that got the rocks for Christmas and so forth. So, yeah, that's Robin Hood. That'll be today. Well, this is Friday. Today or tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Okay. Well, let's see. What else can I ask you today that I haven't got an answer to? Where is historic Lyme Village? I don't believe I've got an answer on that. I got the Tin Goose Diner. Okay. So what are you going to do this weekend, listeners? Do you have anything in mind, any special occasion going on this weekend that you're going to attend or would like to attend? You know, the Palace Theater, I told you, has a Robin Hood this weekend, but and there's plenty of seats yet available for that. So you could about pick your area that you'd like to sit. And I have a hard time in any theater except one in Columbus, since my one ear is not very receptive. I have a hard time hearing everything out of one ear and not much out of the other. And until I went to the theater in Columbus in the shopping center there, you know what I mean? What was the name of that theater? All of you have been there. And I went to see the Mr. Rogers movie there. And boy, they had the sound turned up. I had perfect sound the whole time I was there. I could hear greatly. I just wish the Palace Theater, and I tell you another place that their sound needs some upbringing. River Valley High School has the poorest audio system I've ever heard. They have usually one microphone and seems like one speaker. I wish there was some organization that would come along and say, hey, we'll get you a whole brand new audio system there. Wouldn't that be nice? Every time I go to River Valley and want to hear a performance, well, like the string orchestra and so forth, I have a hard time hearing what people are saying or doing. River Valley High School. Now, the Palace Theater is better than that, but still I have a hard time hearing everything because it seems like only one side of me is is hearing everything. Oh, my. Do you ever have that problem yourself? And if you do, what do you do to overcome that? 11:23 right now, and it's Friday. It's a cool Friday. And what are you going to do this weekend that would be fun? Okay, a lot of people like to go to restaurants and eat. That's fun. Oh, boy. I was mentioning hot and sour and how I'm going to have to get my hot and sour at the Chinese restaurant there across from Panda Express, straight across. They have good food and, of course, hot and sour soup. So does the smorgasbord and what's its name? I can't remember. the smorgasbord there in the shopping center. And I keep thinking of Honky Tonk. Now, why do I think of that? Oh, and then, of course, House Hunan, they have hot and sour. And maybe the China Walk does, too. I don't know. I know I've had soup at, which is called the Chinese Walk. Maybe the one that has the guides come out and have learned the trickery of tossing an egg in the air and flipping this and flipping that and make a dueling with their instruments. Is that the China Walk? There's another walk around the corner in the Plaza Shopping Center area. And so there, you know, you can get Chinese at a lot of places in Marion. Wow. And so I could get hot and sour every place but Panda Express. Now, they did tell me that down around Columbus at some of their facilities, they have it there. But I can only imagine if you were selling a hot drink like that, or soup, that it would be so precarious if somebody slipped, if you're eating hot and the hot and sour soup or any soup, and it spilled on you. Boy, a lawsuit would soon arise. Maybe that's why they don't have hot and sour or any soups at all at Panda Express. Maybe they've had an experience that way of maybe somebody spilling it and, going wanting compensation or whatever. I don't know. I'm just thinking of that. 11:25 is the time, right, or 11:26 actually. And how are you all doing today? Okay, I'm still looking for the historic Lyme Village location. That's in northern Ohio, of course. And what else am I looking for? I got the Rutherford B. Hayes Library. I got that. I still need to know the name of the car at the museum and at Cedar Point. That museum housed the car that my grandfather worked on. And I used to, when I went up to Cedar Point years ago, I used to stand by that car and think, my grandfather had a hand in this. Wow. Okay, so what was the name of that car? It was made in northern Ohio, incidentally. Here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, could that car be Elyria?
Well, you're getting close. You got two of the letters right.
I can't think of... That's the only one I can think of. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But it has two letters. The first two letters you got. So keep looking.
Well, I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Goodbye. Yeah. She got two letters right. Now, that car was made in northern Ohio, not too far from Cedar Point. Well, it'd be straight across west. Okay. Detectives, where are you today? 11:27 is the time. And are you doing anything tonight? Are you joining the crowds that will exist tonight at all the restaurants in Marion? Now, why is that? Is it, I guess I could join that crowd too if I had the means of eating out every Friday night. That would be nice. But how do you do that? But all the restaurants are filled. Oh, my goodness. And that's good for the restaurants, of course. You go by Applebee's, I notice, they're crowded many times during the week. And we know that Panda Express gets crowded, but there's always room in there if you come in, other than drive up to the window. And what else? Applebee's. I remember years ago when I had an office there with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, a man came in and introduced himself and said, I'm the man who gets the deals with Applebee's, and I just wonder, do you think Applebee's would be a good location, or the, where it is located today, do you think that would be a good location? I said, well, I'm sure it would be. Well, it has been. Gads. And what else? Of course, we have Buffalo Wild Wings. That's always been popular. And the restaurant there, the Chinese restaurant, the Smorgasbord.
Charlie, rumor has it, 1 year Buckeye Chuck died the morning of Groundhog Day, and you passed off a stuffed groundhog to the audience.
Well, yes, that did happen.
Did the crowd notice?
Well, not really. I just told the crowd he was scared to death of the audience, and they didn't know how true that was.
Honesty is always the best policy. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, it's Friday. It's the last work day of the week for a lot of people. It's the last work day for me until next Wednesday morning. And Scott, he's going to be on a trip today. That's going to be interesting to see what he encounters. I'm sure he'll have a million stories about his trip that starts today. So we'll be listening Monday morning at 8 o'clock when Scott comes back on, and to see what it was like on his trip to the South. Okay, Old Lyme Village, or Historic Lyme Village. I'm really surprised I've not got an answer for that, because that's more visible than all these other places, almost more visible than everybody or all these other places I've mentioned. Okay, so Historic Lyme Village. It's a reproduction of an old-time village. And they have programs in the summertime every week for, you know, reenactments and museums and, you know, this and that. And I remember once when I was doing my shingle making up there, I had breakfast. They had free breakfast they gave us craftsmen. And I ate with all these officers from the Civil War. And I thought, you know, it was just like turning back the clock. Here I am, stuck in the middle of the Civil War with these men on the Union side. I'll never forget that. That was almost eerie. You know, that I was eating breakfast with the Civil War officers. Wow. Things you remember. I've had a lot to remember. Oh, listen, I've made shingles in many places, and one of the most interesting would be Caldwell, Ohio, in Belmont County. Now, Caldwell is a mighty interesting town in that, well, you talk about hills. You can go up in the fairgrounds of Caldwell, Ohio, and see forever. You can see some of the smoke coming out of the smokestacks down along the Ohio River. Not all the time, but sometimes, of the generating plants down there. I don't know if they're still generating or not, but there's an effort now, you know, throwing more miners out of the business. And but the thing is, you know, that's the frustrating thing. These miners give the best years of their lives working with coal and acquiring black lung disease, which shortens their life. But now that we're trying to go carbonless, you might say, in production of energy, in other words, we're using more gas to heat up the boilers to make electricity, instead of using coal. There are big lakes that were built to hold the residue of those chimneys, of those generating plants. And I couldn't believe when I was given a tour once of the power plants. The power plants along the Ohio River, and one especially, what was it? I can't remember the name of it. I went in one of the cooling towers, you know, those cone-shaped towers. There's nothing in there except steam. And it rises and cools and drips. And they recover that steam, and it goes back through the boiler for the second round. And it normally, when you see those boiler chimneys and the shape of them, you think of radiation. But there's no radiation in that system there. It's a cooling tower. It cools the steam and makes it turn back into liquid to run back through the boilers again. I don't know how many times the same molecule would pass through the boiler, but more than once, I'm sure. But it's so interesting. And then once East Mansfield generating plant, I walked in the control room and I couldn't believe my eyes. Here were the workers in front of all these computers and dials and this and that. They were sitting with their hineys on their desks. In other words, they weren't sitting in a chair. They were sitting with their rear up on the countertop like, yeah, how are you today? I couldn't believe they were handling all this atomic energy being generated into electricity, and here they are, not seated like you would expect an engineer or someone else to be. Now, you know, I've seen a lot of interesting things, and that was the same year I was with a group of vocational agriculture teachers. And I saw them get together as a group once, and I wasn't right around them. And here they were donating money among themselves to buy me a peacock. I didn't find out until later. Pierre the peacock they bought. And I had Pierre for quite a while. And as I worked on my fence to keep it in repair, Pierre the peacock, would jump on my shoulders and dig his claws in. And I thought, hey, you're supposed to be a beautiful peacock, you know, flashing all those colors, but here you are digging into my shoulder like you're attacking. And my wife, the same way, they got her. And so finally, I said, that's enough for Pierre. I'm going to have to get rid of him. And so I mentioned on the air that I've got a peacock I'd like to give away. Well, those things are valuable, you know, they cost a lot. And boy, I the lady called me right away and said, hey, I'll take Pierre. I'll take him over to New Bloomington where I live. And I thought, well, fine. And so I wrapped him or put him in a burlap bag. And apparently on the way over to her house, it got out of the car. And she chased it 5 miles down the road to catch it. And then years went on, and the last time I talked to this lady, she said, Charlie, you remember Pierre? I said, how could I ever forget him? She said, well, there is no more Pierre. I said, what happened? She said, I took a broomstick and broke its neck. She had had enough of Pierre too. And now you know that a peacock, even though as colorful as they are, they can also be nasty. They can have a bad temperament. And like I've often said too, a peacock from behind doesn't look as beautiful as they do from the front. The same way with a turkey. A turkey from behind is is something else. But it's like in life, you know, you dress up, put on your finest, but underneath all that finest is your body. 11:38 right now. Did anyone else ever have a peacock? Did any of you ever have a guinea hen? Oh, my goodness. I had 10 guineas at one time, and all you could hear in the neighborhood of Clarendon was these guineas and that weird sound they made. And people have told me ever since, oh, well, guineas make good watchdogs. And I often said, yes, I would rather have the dog than the guinea. Well, and I've told this story before, so if you get bored, just lean back and go to sleep. But finally, my neighbor, two doors away, had a nice garden. I mean, he was a gardener and a beekeeper. Well, my guineas would often go over to his garden and march up and down the rows of his vegetables, eating something. Well, he would come out with a cane pole with a white flag on it to try to chase my guineas away. And I thought, well, it's too bad he doesn't really realize that those guineas are eating the bugs off his vegetables and not the vegetables themselves. So I waited till one day when one of my guineas was right out in the open and he saw it, and I showed my goodwill. I whipped out my .22 rifle and shot the guinea. So So it would make him feel better. But what I didn't say was there were nine others in the barn. Well, anyhow, this, when you move to the country like we did, never having lived on a farm up until that time, it's quite an experience. I've worked on a farm with Larry Eblin, the radio station farm. I worked with Larry on that, doing pigs and, you know, taking care of all the animals. And the main thing was hauling manure. And one time I was shoveling away, and I got an extra burst of strength, and the kid on the other side of me went to throw a pitchfork full of manure into the wagon and lifted his head up and got smacked by me with my pitchfork full. And poor guy, I never will forget that. Oh. And then we had a farm director, Charlie Might. Some of you might remember Charlie, but he's been dead for many, many years. But his boy that I knew on the farm, that was 1959. Boy, he'd be quite old now. We used to throw quarters or nickels in a hog trough, and he'd dive in to get them. Oh, my. I could go on forever telling stories, things that happened in my life, like the goofy thing I did once. I saw this tree that we needed to get out of the ground because it was in the way, and so I hooked a chain on it and then hooked the chain onto the tractor. Well, some of you men know quite well what happened. When I let the clutch up, it pulled on the chain, which pulled on the tractor, which pulled on the stump, and the tractor went up in the air. And there I am, facing the sky, and thank goodness I had the presence of mind to push the clutch in to release the pull on the tractor, and the tractor came bouncing down. Had I left it going the way it was, the tractor would have flipped over and I would have been underneath it. And that's one of the first things you learn when you're on a farm. That's a no-no. You never hook onto the drawbar anything you want to pull other than, you know, a wagon or something else. You don't hook that low or that high or whatever and expect to live. 11:43 is the time. Anyone else with any stories? I'm not the only one with the stories, I'm sure. But one of my questions I haven't had answered yet was, where is the historic Lyme Village? Where would you find historic Lyme Village? And I know most of you have gone past it at one time or another. But have you ever looked to your left going toward Lake Erie? Yeah, where is that historic Lyme Village? Now, the man that operates it is a preacher, and I used to work over at Thomas Edison's home area for their festivals they had. I was Thomas Edison. No, I was his dad. I was Mr. Edison, and I had a young boy working with me, and he was young Tom. He was supplied by the people at the festival. And so young Tom and his dad worked there splitting shingles during a festival, I think 3 years in a row at least. 11:44 is the time, and we'll be breaking here in just a moment. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss another minute. Anyone want to give me a call and give me your opinion on anything? 740.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, it's 11:45 Eastern Standard Time. But let's see, we'll be on Eastern Daylight Time in a couple of weeks. Yes, okay. Will you like that? It'll be lighter earlier, but will it be lighter later? Anyhow, some people disagree with daylight savings time. Others say, hey, bring it on. Let's have it permanently. 11:45 is the time. And if any of you have any stories you'd like to tell, and I know there are people out there with galore with stories they could tell, but maybe you don't have the courage that I have in telling people your life story. Oh, my goodness. But, yes, where is Historic Lyme Village? I'm surprised I didn't get an immediate answer to that. Where is Lyme Village? It's a reproduction of the early days. Now, it's not too far from Milan, Ohio, where the Thomas Edison home is located, and Thomas Edison's dad was a shingle maker like me, and that's why I portrayed his dad, the shingle maker. And young Tom, he never got into that, but he helped his dad. Yeah, and we had a good time up there in Milan. They've got a nice museum there, a lot of glassware, and I watched a man working right across from me making a Windsor chair. And boy, that is something that I see on television every now and then. A Windsor chair maker. And it's not really an easy thing to do. It takes skill. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, caller, go ahead.
My husband says it's in Bellevue.
Yeah, yes, you're right. Your husband. Yeah, yeah. You go past it every time you go to Lake Erie. It's just on the east side of Bellevue, yes. Okay. What would you like today? Would you like a panda?
He's from Sandusky, so he says that's why he knows.
Oh, yeah, oh, okay.
And I'm not eligible, Charlie.
Oh.
But he just kept yelling from the other room, it's in Bellevue! It's in Bellevue! So I thought I'd better call and tell you, it's in Bellevue!
Well, that's good. You tell your dad I knew the preacher that runs it if he still is not dead by now.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Yes, that. Let's see, how many years ago did I work at the Historic Lyme Village? How many years ago did I work at Milan, Ohio, at the Thomas Edison home? That was interesting. And I never will forget, there was an older lady, and she called him Thomas Edison. Now, I don't know if she wasn't informed or if Thomas Edison pronounced his name Edison. I looked at her and I thought, what's going on? I should have asked her how she'd come up with Edison. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, did you get the car one yet?
No.
Okay, would it be El Dorado?
No, but you're close.
It was not Elgin.
No, El Dorado was a Cadillac. But
you're looking for an old antique car, right?
Yes, right. They're not made anymore, and it appeared on the floor of the Cedar Point Museum.
Oh, that doesn't help me, but
yeah,
I'll keep thinking.
You got the first two letters right, though.
I did, but I can't think of anything. Elyria and those, I can't think of.
Yeah, you're in the same general vicinity.
There's not an Elkhart, is it? I know Indiana.
Elkhart?
But
no, there wasn't an Elkhart, no.
That's
in Indiana, yeah, where they make travel. Yeah.
Well, I'll keep thinking.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, bye. All right, yeah. She's going to get that yet. If she got out an Ohio road map, that town is on the Ohio road map, of course. 11:49. My grandfather would be disheartened if he thought nobody knows the car that I worked on. Boy, that was a long time. My grandfather's been dead for probably 50 or 60 years. And I never got his ability down or his skill. He was a machinist. After he was a buggy striper, then he was a machinist. And what was the last place he worked at was the W.A. Riddell Company in Bucyrus. And that was a long time ago. 11:50 is the time. And during the war, I had no wagon. And things were kind of scarce, you know. You couldn't buy metal items hardly anywhere because they were all the metal went into the war effort. So my grandfather said, Charlie, since we lived with him at the time, since Dad was in the Navy, he said, I'll make you a wagon. I thought, ooh. And he said, and to make it even better, I will put runners on it so when you can take the wheels off when it snows and use it as a sled. Well, that took a long time. It took many months of me reminding him, where's my sled or my wagon? Well, he had to make the wagon wheels out of wood. Like I was telling you, no metal. And he worked at that time as a machinist and was able to cut the wheels out of wood. And then he made the sled runners, which were what do you call them? Where they, and I've got one, a real one at home, that has individual feet. Individual, I don't know what you would call. It wasn't a complete long runner. It was a short runner, and it had four of them. And, that was a long time. And I don't know what I ever did with it, but I used it for quite a while, but those wooden wheels just didn't cut it. Oh, were they rough. Can you imagine going down the sidewalk, pulling a wooden-wheeled wagon behind you? And I just dreamed of having a regular wagon. And that one day I did after the war. Wow, 11:52 is the time. And how are you all doing today? What are you going to do? You probably wouldn't want to even mention, but where are you going to eat tonight? I guess every restaurant is full on Friday nights, isn't it? I'd like to be one of those filling a restaurant. Give my wife a break. My wife, Jeannie, without her, I'd be helpless because in my age now, I have to have a little assistance, if not a lot of assistance, in doing heavier things. My son-in-law, Tim Ralston, without him, I would be lost. Tim just got finished fixing our shower and this and that, and such a good guy, and really is. I don't know what I would do without people like him. Wow. 11:53 is the time. How about you? Do you have in your family, your kids are all married and gone. Does anyone in your family come and help you with things that need to be done when you're too old to do them yourself? Yeah, that's something you got to think about as you get older. You know, I'm used to doing heavier things, like crawling underneath my lawn and garden tractor to grease it and change oil and do this and that. But there comes a time when you can't do all that very well. And have any of you been able to solve that problem? Do any of you have kids that come in, step right in and help? Well, that's where we're lucky at our house. Okay, we do get help from our kids, and that's great. Well, let me see. What else? 11:54. Yes, I did. We finally got Historic Lyme Village, but we've not got the answer to the name of the car at the Cedar Point Museum. Oh, boy. They do have something that I once helped polish of the type, a steam engine, a fire department steamer that generated steam, which operated the pumps that would pump the water to spray on a fire. And we had one, it's still in Bucyrus. It's in the museum there. And I used to polish that and dust it to keep it looking nice for when people drop by, they could see that old steam engine. Okay, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, is that car Elmora?
Well, that's a close enough Elmore. E-L-M-O-R-E. And that's a little town in northern Ohio.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Oh, really? Yeah, you look it up on Ohio Road Map, you'll see it. The Elmore.
I've got a road map and it doesn't list it.
It should be up along Lake Erie, just below Lake Erie. In between Toledo. Really?
There's no... Is it E-L-M-O-R-E?
Yes, it is.
Elmore.
Yeah, Elmore, yes.
Oh, okay. No, that other one's right above that.
Oh.
No, I kept thinking of that. Yeah, I see it now.
Hey, how about a prize after looking up that?
No.
Well, hey, that's all right if you won before. Now, we're going to close here at noon. Well, so you wouldn't be able to pick up anything until Monday.
But yeah, Scott said I'm not until the 24th, but I had it a week earlier.
Oh,
but
really?
No, that's fine, yeah.
Well, hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that call when I was trying to get it.
Okay, all right. Well, hey, I appreciate all the time you took to look that up. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, bye. All right, she got it. The Elmore car. Now, can you look that up on the internet somewhere? Let's see, it's 11:57. I don't know if I got time to unzip my backpack here and see if I can find on the internet the Elmore car. Hang on. Let me see. I don't think I've got the time, but I'll hit Google here and type in I type in Elmore. Okay, I'm typing right now. Okay, let me, Elmore, Elmore Village in Ohio, Elmore. Okay, I'll type in auto. There, Elmore Automobile. Okay, it comes right up. Let me see what. Explora 2019 Nissan car, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's Elmore, man. Yeah, here it is. Look that up, ma'am. You'd spent so much time looking this up. Elmore Manufacturing Company was a manufacturer of veteran and brass era automobiles and bicycles, 1893 to 1897. Headquartered, of course, in Elmore, Ohio. And, here's a picture of the Ohio two-stroker 1910 Elmore. Wow, there's a picture of it. You can Google that up. Look it under Google, under Elmore, and you'll see the car that I was talking about that my grandfather worked on. Invented a non-slipping clutch, there it is, for that car. Well, I tell you what. I've exhausted all of our time today. Have a good weekend and be careful. And we'll see you next week. So, be good. We're coming up on 11:15. Well, actually, 12 noon. We're coming up. Stay tuned. And I'll see you next Wednesday on WWGH in Marion, Ohio.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For guests like legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson.
Over the course of this program, we have had a lot of great guests on. We've had Hugh Downs, we have had David Hartman, we have had Marvin Kalb, and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, Jesse Jackson. Just great people who are no longer with us, Tony Curtis and Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows and all the great guests we've had over the last 5 years. But today, making a very special appearance with us is a gentleman who's been on before. He is an icon in the world of news without question. And my introduction is now over, long enough to say, here is Sam Donaldson. Sam, how are you?
Well, Scott, I'm pleased to be with you. I mean, you're persistent, you're smart. I understand you've been on the air for 5 years. And I must tell you, I was a reporter in Washington for 52 years. The next 47 is the easiest. I mean, the first five was the hardest, Scott.
You know, it's interesting, Sam. I was talking to somebody the other day over a few radio stations. I've been doing this for 17 years, and boy, I'll tell you, it never gets old.
No, it never gets old, and it's always interesting if you are smart and if you keep up on the topics that people are interested in. And the list of guests you've had.
I can't thank you enough. The audience can't thank you enough. And I hope every so often you'll come back and join us periodically.
I will when I can, Scott, because I'll repeat it. You're smart, and in the case of trying to get guests, you're persistent, and that pays off.
And the funny lady from Hee Haw, legendary actress Lulu Roman.
When you do a show like you will on Sunday, a musical performance, is there a number in there, because you are so comedic, you have that great comedic time, is there a number that kind of strays to the comedy side of things that you like to do?
They want me to do the Where Oh Where Are You Tonight thing, so I'll do that. And I have little verses, you know, that go with it. And That's funny, people like that do.
Now tell people where that came from who might not remember that.
Okay. On Hee Haw, there was two guys who stood in front of the board fence, Archie Campbell and Gordy Tapp, and they did a little thing called Where Oh Where Are You Tonight? And the chorus was, Where Oh Where Are You Tonight? Why did you leave me here all alone? I searched the world over and I thought I'd found true love. You met another and you was gone. My favorite verse to it was, I had 6 kids and you had 11. We had 10 more and they're blooming like flowers. I wish you'd come home, you dirty old rascal, because your kids and my kids are beating up ours. Where, oh, where are you tonight? You
know? I love that.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio.